Your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. People that meet me for the first time in this country often ask me why I moved here. What was my purpose? And although I normally will get to the fact that I am here to preach the gospel and to teach the Word of God, I usually try and throw them off a bit and tell them I moved because of the weather. Because I absolutely do love the weather here. I am not someone that loves heat or a lot of sunshine. I like gray days. I like misty days and rain. Part of that has to do with my lack of hair. But nonetheless, when I say that, they look at me as if there was something wrong with me. And maybe that's true, but nonetheless, I do like it a little bit grayer and a little bit cooler. This type of weather is nice, but I'm more fond of something that I can relax more in. The reason I bring this up is there's a lesson that I've learned since my family and I have moved here about 5 years ago. In those conversations, I usually end up misquoting a verse from Ecclesiastes 11. It says, "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap." You see, since we've been here, we've learned a lesson that the British have taught us. That is, if you are waiting for the perfect day to do something, you're going to be waiting for a long time. And so you might as well just get on with it. You might as well go out there and go for that walk. You might as well get out there and do what you plan to do. And if the weather turns so awful you have to stop, well, so be it. But if you're going to wait and say, "I'm going to wait for that nice weather," then you're going to be waiting a while. In the U.S., you could plan things around the weather forecast because they weren't on an island with fierce winds coming from any direction. And so there, they would plan and say, "Oh no, it's going to be bad weather on Saturday." And lo and behold, it would be bad weather on Saturday. Well, we can't do that here. We have to get up and do the things that we have planned on doing, regardless of what the clouds look like, regardless of what the winds may do. And we go forward. And this has been a lesson for us, and hopefully we're going to see some lessons from these verses in Ecclesiastes 11 that we can each apply in our lives. I'm going to start reading in verse 1 of Ecclesiastes 11. "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether this shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good." When we think about these verses, the one that started my mind upon this path is that verse 4. "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap." What the writer, I think, is doing here is that same exact lesson that my family has learned. Is that don't let your circumstances determine what you're going to do. Do what you're planning, regardless of the circumstances. Don't let the storm clouds make you think, "Oh, I can't go out today." When the sower is going out, and if he thinks it's going to be an incredibly windy day, and he doesn't go out because of it, what happens if in the middle of the day the wind stops, and he could have sown his seed? What happens if the reaper is going along and says, "Look at how bad the clouds are, I'm just going to stay inside today." And it's that way for 2 weeks, but it never actually rains. All of a sudden his crop is gone. It's this idea that if we continually wait for the perfect day, there will not be the day. Tomorrow never comes, if you will. Now, I'm not a farmer, but I believe that any farmer worth his soil will tell you that you keep up the work until the rain falls, until it's so heavy, the mud's so thick you can't keep going. You don't delay because the clouds are gray or there might be some wind. If the wind is strong, don't cast your seed, put it in the earth, so that the wind doesn't blow it away. There are things that you can do to continue your work and continue your labor. Well, how does this apply? How does this apply to a Christian? Well, especially in today's world, in today's society, we think that the world is closing in upon us, and there are things that we are too afraid to say. Well, the Bible doesn't speak that way. The Bible doesn't hold back. Now, certainly we shouldn't be offensive, but the Bible is going to offend. The gospel is going to offend people. But we become paralyzed because of what's around us. Because the wind is blowing in a different direction. Because society says, well, these things are acceptable that the Bible says aren't. And we step back and don't make our voice be heard. We become paralyzed because of the clouds. Might we fall foul of the law if we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ unfettered? Yes, we might. Yes, we might. There might be things that happen to us. We might be prosecuted. Does that mean we should stop preaching it? Oh, indeed. It doesn't mean that. We have to be just as Peter and John were in Acts chapter 4 when they were told by the council to stop preaching this Jesus. Stop preaching about him, regardless of the miracles that are happening. And Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have heard and seen. We have to speak them. It's incumbent upon us because of what Christ has done for us, if you're a Christian today. Don't be paralyzed by the what ifs. There are so many things that could happen. But see, this is the reason for doctrine. This is the reason for theology. We study the scriptures and we find that God is sovereign. We find that God is omnipotent. That God is omniscient, that He knows all, that He has all power, that He is everywhere, and He comforts His people. And He says, do not be afraid of the one that can kill the body, but be afraid of the one that can kill body and send the soul to hell. That's who you be afraid of. That's the one you mind. Don't mind what man can do. That doesn't mean it will be an easy path. That doesn't mean you'll have roses and everything just as they did in the royal wedding yesterday. You're going to walk a hard path. But walk it nonetheless, because you serve a God who's over all. And He'll bring you to Himself. Serve the Lord regardless. Why? Because they cannot touch your everlasting soul. To the one who has not been born again, the world, it's like those clouds and the wind that's blowing, is the world telling you there's no God. Or telling you that God is not relevant, the Bible's not relevant today. And this force comes into you all of the time, whether you're watching the television or reading some article or looking on the internet or being in school or at the workplace. Oh no, keep that as separate. Keep your religious life separate from the rest of your life. Well, the Bible teaches us that's not possible. That it's all one. The world is telling you that evolution is the answer. Well, don't believe their winds and their clouds. Don't pay attention to them. The Bible says that God is the only one, that God has created the heavens and the earth. He's the one that's done the work. He's the one that is just. And He's the one that is merciful. He shows mercy through the blood of His Son. Your sin, the burden that you bear, the thing that you try and get off of you all of the time, that you try and put your conscience down, well, He will take it away. He'll take the burden away through His blood, through faith in Him. In these verses you see, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. And then in verse 6, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. The writer here is telling us to work while we can. We're not always going to have the ability to work, are we? The weather certainly teaches us that lesson. There are times that we can go out and do what's necessary. And then there's times where it's a gale. You can't do anything about that. Then there's times where the rain is coming down so heavy, there is nothing you can do. You have to take advantage of the time that you have. You know, I get very bad headaches. And there's times where I'm incapacitated from them. And they've taught me to work while I can work. Oh, I'm planning on doing that tomorrow or the next day or the day after. Well, I'm not guaranteed that I'm going to be able to function that day. So do it today while I have the time, while I have the ability. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. None of us are guaranteed tonight. Do the work while you can do the work. Jesus said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Now, when you think about farming, I don't know if you've ever seen farmers driving their tractors at night with the lights on. You know, they've run out of time. Something has prevented them earlier in the day or earlier in the week, and they have to get it done. Do you think the furrow that they're plowing is as straight as if they were doing it in the daytime? I can tell you it's not going to be. It's not going to be as perfect. It's not going to be just straight as in line. There will be a time when no man can work in the fields. There will be a time when darkness falls. Whether it's when the Lord returns or whether it's when you're not able anymore. So what is he saying? Work the works now. Do the things that God asks you to do in the moment. The moment may not be tomorrow. You may not have tomorrow. So the Christian, you don't know the end from the beginning. You don't know what's going to work out, what God is going to use in your life. Continue to sow the seed. Sow it in the morning, sow it in the evening. Continue to sow it at every opportunity you get. Why? Because you're not the one who makes it grow. God is. You may be the one coming along and planting the seed. You may be the one coming along to water the seed. But who's the one that makes the seed grow? It's the Spirit of God. He's the one that is at work. We have to keep casting that seed, casting it out. And the Almighty uses that seed, and he uses it to grow someone into a Christian, to show them their need of a Savior, to show them that they are a sinner, lost and undone. It also is true for each person. You know, one day, you'll have to stop. So don't worry about that day. Do it today. Speak today. Move with your mouth today. Pray today. We don't all have to be standing in the front. We don't all have to be the one that's saying the right thing at the right time. We can all pray. We can all study. We can all encourage one another to the one that has not had their burden of sin removed. Don't labor for salvation. That is not the answer. That is not what God is speaking about. There is no hope in laboring to earn something that you cannot earn. We've all nullified that option. We've all sinned against the God of heaven. Besides our sin nature, we've all actually committed sin. And it seals our doom. One tick mark in that on that ledger, and that's enough. And each one of us have done more than that. If the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, and the second like unto it, to love your neighbor as yourself, if those are the two greatest commandments, has any of us ever met them in a single day of our lives? To say, I've loved God perfectly today, I've loved my neighbor as myself today, if I haven't fulfilled the two greatest commandments any day of my life, what difference does it make about the rest? I'm a sinner indeed, and yet there is life today. To turn to Christ for salvation. Don't try and work away the bad things. You're not going to accomplish that. Turn to Christ and he'll remove those things. Another lesson that we see is to sow the seed even when you think you shouldn't. Even when you think the ground is hard. Even when you think that it's going to bounce off and it's going to be washed away in a deluge. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away for their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. You see, Paul is laying a charge on Timothy, isn't he? He says it doesn't matter whether you think it's the right season or the wrong season to say something. Say it anyway. Say it anyway. You're not sitting in the seat of God. You don't know what God is using and what he's not using. Guess what? He's using it all. Speak. It's a charge that Paul lays on Timothy. It's a charge that the Word of God lays upon every preacher of the Word of God. It's a charge that's laid upon every believer. It doesn't say to be eloquent. It doesn't say to be standing in front of someone else. It says to share your faith. Speak forth the things that's changed your heart. The sin that's been removed from you by the blood of Christ. Tell your friend about it. Tell your relation about it. It's a charge to speak at every opportunity. As the writer says in verse 6, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, whether they both shall be alike good. You think back again, who sows the seed? Who plants the seed? Well, we do those things, but who waters the seed? Well, we're doing it again, but that's not the work, is it? The Spirit of God is the one that's at work. To use the things that are spoken. And that's a relief for someone like me. Because sometimes I'll say the wrong thing. Especially being an American in Britain. It's going to happen. It's just the natural course of things. But I can rest in a God who uses things. Who uses all things for His good. His word goes forth and accomplishes His purpose. He's going to reap the things that are sown. That's His promise. When you think about the Sermon on the Mount, what does Jesus call a Christian? He says we are the salt of the earth. Again, what does He call a Christian? He says we're the light of the world. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means we are little Christs. Now, that's not heresy. We are a Christian. It means a little Christ, a little anointed one. Why? Because we are anointed with the same Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ was anointed with. He was anointed at His baptism with the Holy Spirit. We're anointed, if you're a Christian today, with the Holy Spirit. And what does that make you? It makes you salt and makes you light. So that people are attracted to you because of what you have. Because of who you are. At every moment, be a Christian. It's not some secret recipe. Love God. Love your neighbor. People are going to see you as different. They're going to say, why do you have that I don't have? Why are you so cheerful in the face of such a difficulty? And they're going to ask you. It's fulfilling those two greatest commandments. You know, the law of the harvest is an unbendable law, isn't it? You reap what you sow. Paul says in Galatians 6, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know, I'm not a farmer, but if you plant corn, you get corn. If you plant apples, you're going to get an apple tree. Now, that's the way it is. If you plant apples, apple seeds, you're never going to get corn out of that. What you plant is what you get. And that's true in life, just like it is with plants. You plant to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. You plant to the Spirit, you reap life everlasting. That's what Paul's saying. It fits right in with what the writer of Ecclesiastes is saying. You plant, you sow, you reap. The things you sow are the things you reap. You know, it's an interesting thing when you consider evolution. At no time has an apple evolved into being corn. At no time has corn evolved into being an apple. You plant an apple, you get an apple. You plant corn, you get corn. You plant the fruit of the Spirit, you're going to see life everlasting. You plant into this life, into your flesh, into the things of this world, what are you going to see? You're going to see corruption. The things are going to fall apart. The car is going to break down. The house is going to belong to somebody else when you're dead. All the things that you care about now are going to fall right through your fingers. So to the flesh, reap corruption. So to the Spirit, reap life everlasting. Hosea says it this way to the Christian. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek Jehovah. Till He come and rain righteousness upon you. What do you plant? Do you sow yourselves in righteousness? Do you sow to yourselves the fruit of the Spirit? If you do, what do you receive? Mercy. You receive mercy. You receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He's going to rain it upon you. You know, today I am not a righteous individual. Now God has declared me righteous, but sin is still in my body. And I fight against it, but sometimes I fail. One day, when I stand before Him, He's going to rain righteousness down upon me. He's going to actually place His righteousness on me. And my corrupted flesh will fall away. And I'll be changed in an instant into immortality. And what a glorious day that will be. But that day is not yet. So what do? I continue to sow the fruit of the Spirit. I sow righteousness. I sow to the Lord. You plant discord and strife? What are you going to reap? You won't reap mercy. Understand that. You won't reap those things that you would seek. He's saying, break up the parts of your life that you've kept on your own. Break up the parts of your life that you've kept hidden. Break them up, that ground that's laying dormant. Break it up and sow the seed of righteousness. Sow the seeds of this book. Study it. Learn from it. Understand it. Pray. To the one who has not believed upon the only name given among men whereby we must be saved. Hosea has something to say as well. He says, "For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the strangers shall swallow it up." If you're trying to work your way to heaven, if your good deeds or you think are going to be acceptable, that somehow or other the scales will weigh out in your favor, what you're doing is you're sowing to the wind. You're sowing to a fruitless hope. What will you reap from it? The whirlwind. It's going to take it all away. It's going to remove all of those things. And you say, why? Well, our righteous deeds are in what? In God's eyes. There's filthy rags. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. There's not a good thing that we can do to earn salvation before God. It's impossible. It's sowing to the wind. You'll receive no benefit from it. Now, it's interesting when we think about this, because we think, oh, there are people out there that do good things, and you can see the positive effect it has. Isn't that a good thing? Well, certainly is. Who receives the benefit? The person who the good deed was done towards. The person who did it, if they're doing it to earn salvation, if they're doing it to, in some way to please God, to see Him one day because of that's what their purpose is, they're not receiving any benefit. The person who received it did. You know, there have been people that in my life that were not Christians who did good deeds towards me. And I received a benefit. God blessed me through that. Unless they become a Christian. You know what they receive from that? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Why? Because their good deeds are filthy rags in God's sight. Because it cannot earn them salvation. Why? Because Jesus sent His Son to die on the cross for sinners. It's sowing to the wind and it's reaping the whirlwind. It's all going to be taken away. The Scriptures show us that today is the day of salvation. Isaiah 55, he says, "Seek ye Jehovah while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his thoughts, and let him return unto Jehovah, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." It's that same idea about sowing the seed today, working today. Well, today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow, worry about now, this moment. This moment before God. You're not promised tomorrow. Seek Him while He may be found. You don't have the promise that He'll be found tomorrow because you don't have the promise you'll be alive tomorrow. It's a sad testament, but there is the track record to look back and say every single human being, apart from two in the history of humanity, has died. The odds are not in our favor that we're going to live forever in this physical body. We're going to die. Unless the Lord returns first. We hope that He does. We pray that He will. But history tells us it may not be in our lifetime. It may be in our kids' lifetime. Or our grandkids' lifetime. Either way, tomorrow is not promised. Seek the Lord today. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6, "For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." If you're a Christian sitting here today, if you've been born again, if you've been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, today is your day of salvation. Don't think back of the first day. You know, I remember as a young Christian, there were people that said, "Oh, I can remember the day, and I can tell you the date that God saved me." And I thought, well, I can't do that. Am I not a Christian because I can't do that? And I came to realize it's not about the date that He saved me. It's about the fact that I'm trusting Him today. And every other day that since then, I'm trusting Him. And then I'll be trusting Him tomorrow. And the day after that. Every day for a Christian is the day of salvation. Because every day is the day that you may die or He may return. Today is the day of salvation. Trust Him today. If you're not trusting Him every day, then you've never trusted Him. As it's the way it works. It's a continual work. Why? Because it's everlasting life. The day I trusted Him is the day He said, "You've got everlasting life." It's never going away. It's never going to it's never going to stop. The day you die is the day you just close your eyes in one place and open them somewhere else. In an instant. What a day that will be. If you're not a Christian, don't be paralyzed by the thoughts of society. Because they're not God's thoughts. And we read in the call to worship, Isaiah 55, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord." He is far and away above us, as high as the heavens are from the earth. And don't think evolution can save you. Thinking about where these things have come from, that's not the answer. The answer is in God. Your works cannot do it. The winds of the world may be swirling around you, but you need to focus on one individual, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to ask Him for forgiveness today. "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap." Oh, that wouldn't be said of us today. That we would sow the seed. That we would see the harvest coming. That we would look to Jesus Christ, each one of us. We point you to Him today. Amen.